stop persistence as our history is real. A strong will can shine like gold.
Welcome to the Wayne Bennett Podcast, celebrating West Virginia people, places, and the culture of Southern Appalachia. Now here's your host, Wayne Bennett.
Welcome to Wayne Bennett's podcast. My name is Wayne Bennett, and this is episode 68. I'd like to give a shout out to Matt Mullins and the Bring Downs for providing our intro music. And these guys are really good. They play a little Appalachian rock and country. And Matt is instrumental in getting the Bill Withers Festival. Raising money to get a statue put downtown of Bill Withers, a native Raleigh Canyon. It did quite well, and Matt did a real good job this year, and hopefully this will be an annual thing and catch on really big time. But shout out to Matt Mullins and the Bring Downs. I've been asked by several people to tell what I know about a guy that used to live in the Piney River Canyon or Piney Creek Canyon. His name was Cabbage Head Metter. In the 50s and 60s, it was quite a character to witness and talk about. And I'll tell you a little bit about it. When I was a kid, probably about 9 or 10 years old, I was playing in the Sylvia School playground at lunchtime, and I saw a small guy walking up Myers Avenue. He had long black grayish hair. He had a long beard almost down to his waist, and he wasn't a real big fella. He had a dark gray blackish trench coat on, and it was kind of uncharacteristic because at that time it was in April, and it was pretty warm apparel to be wearing. But and he was walking in a hurry and kind of a strange looking character. And one of the other kids told me that was a guy named Cabbage Head. And I'd never heard of the guy before. So it was a little bit of discussion. They said he'd come out of Piney Creek every once in a while, and he would go to the post office and go back, and he lived in a cave. Some people called him Cabbage Head Meadows at the time, but we found out later that his last name was Metter. Heard several rumors of how he got his name. There used to be an old song called Cabbage Head. I think Doc Watson had it out maybe back in the 40s. And there have been several different versions of that song. Some people say that people adapted that to him from the song. Another rumor I heard was another kid in Sylvia School witnessed him walking up Myers Avenue like I did, and went in and told the teacher that he saw this strange guy going up Myers Avenue. And the teacher said, "Well, describe him." And he said, "Well, he had this big cabbage head." And that kind of caught on. One thing we do know, that he didn't seem to mind the nickname. It was something that stayed with him until he died. Doing a little bit of research, I found out that his name was Milburn Metter, and he was born in Summers County. His mom and dad were Mr. and Mrs. Harrison Metter, and he was one of six children. He attended school at the Glade Creek School, and one of his first teachers, in an interview that he had said later, was named Abraham Redden. He was born on April the 1st, 1877. He wasn't in school too long, but in one of his recollections, he said he remembered winning the school spelling bee. And he began working in a sawmill And he also, during his working career, he was a coal miner. He married a lady named Annie, and according to one of his other interviews, he had two children who had died before him. During his early life, he had traveled to 15 different states, including Wyoming and Georgia, and worked in a sawmill or in the coal mines. And he liked Georgia best because of the weather. Now, where he actually lived is down below the White Stick sewer plant on Piney Creek. Back in the old days, there used to be a Raleigh Empire Coal Company Tipples. It was behind what they call Raleigh Motor Sales there. He, I guess after the death of his wife and his kids, and he got old to where he couldn't work, he had no other known relatives that we know. And so he started living in a cave area, and is down behind also. Nowadays, if the Brookshire development, where you have several doctor's offices right before you get on I-64, they used to call that area the Cliffs when I was a kid growing up. It used to be a Parrot's Market was there. And us boys, we used to go down there on Saturdays, and we'd go up and down those cliffs. You know, there was pathways to get through there. But he lived in one of the caves there, and he also had a small hut that he lived in during some of the summer months, but it wasn't really sturdy enough or well-built enough to really withstand the cold. So that made him a recluse and a hermit, was a term they used back in the old days. He frequented the city dump, which was located at the end of Worley Road, and there was a Mr. Mitchum that used to run the city dump. And back then, there was no real environmental protection agency. And so if you lived in a city, you could just come out there and just dump your trash. And usually there was some burning all the time. And they just basically piled up trash. Sometimes if you brought something that was worth any money or whatever, Mr. Mitchum would set it to the side. And evidently he and Cabbage Head or Milburn Meadow were good buddies. You'd see Milburn there quite often. During on Saturdays, boys, we would go on hikes out through Gray Flats where the soccer fields are now, and down on the cliffs. I don't think our parents knew where we were most of the time, but they probably wouldn't let us go. But it was just a way we'd pack our lunches and stay all day. Sometimes we would have groups of 10 or 12. Sometimes it'd be just two or three of us. Every once in a while, you would run into Cabbage Head if you're around the cliff area. The one time that I actually got to see him up close, the boys were supposed to meet at Parrot's Market, and we were going to go down around the cliff area, and nobody showed up. I was about 10 years old, and nobody showed up, and this was around 1960, 59 or 60. So it was just me and a boy named Kenny Metter, and no relation. But Kenny had spent a lot of time down in that area, and he actually was one of the few boys that Cabbage Head liked or was friends to. And so being only two of us, I asked Kenny, I said, well, let's go down and see if we can find Cabbage Head. And so we went down, went into the cave area. I stood more at the entrance. It wasn't a real deep cave, but it's a place that he basically called home. And Kenny was talking to him, and Kenny had taken some candy and gave to him. And like I said, he was real friendly with Kenny. But Kenny asked him while we were there, how come you're living in a cave? I mean, how come you're kind of hiding out? How come you stay in the woods? And he said that the Catholics were after him, that's who he was hiding from. And he didn't elaborate too much on where that came from. But we do know for a fact, you know, there were other guys that came around down the area, and Cabbage Head was by this time getting older. He was in his 70s and early 80s, and there was a lot of pranksters that messed with his cut or messed with his area in the cave where he lived. and vandals. Some of the people were mean to him. One particular incident happened in 1949. There were some boys that got into his strawberry patch, and he came outside his hut to run them off. And they took off running south down the river and a creek, and he just shot up north to kind of scare them. Didn't shoot at them, but what had happened, though, was one of the boys had ran the opposite direction of the other two. And so when he shot it in the bushes up north, he actually hit one of the kids. The boy's name was Paul Bradley, and he lived in Raleigh. And he had some minor injuries caused by a shotgun blast. There is newspaper evidence that he was treated by Dr. M.C. Banks of Raleigh and released. And in an interview that same year, Carl Cahill was a reporter for Beckley Newspapers. And he went down to talk to Cabbage Head, get a little story, with a guy named Hank Harkness and Herman Mandeville. And during that interview, Cabbage Head once again said the reason he was hiding out was because he was hiding from the Catholics, and that some Catholic guys had beat him up at one time, and so he had to stay hidden from them. There was also an incident in 1956, and keep in mind, again, this guy's in his 70s, very seldom would you ever see him in public, but he was shot twice by juveniles with 22 caliber rifles, and he was shot once in the face and once in the collarbone, and he said that they had broken into his hut, stole two shotguns and some postal savings certificates that he had bought at the post office worth about $400. In the newspaper article, he was taken to the hospital, treated, and released. Well, he wouldn't stay. And they arrested two East Beckley boys, charged them with felonious assault and breaking and entering. And so his life was, he couldn't be left alone too much. In 1960, an article that was written in the Raleigh Register by Opal Ripley, she talked about a hunter had found Metter on his back on the bank of Piney River and had reported to the sheriff's department. And when they went down there, they found him laying there on the bank. He couldn't walk. He was still alive. And four deputies and two volunteers carried him to where an ambulance took him to the hospital. He described his in the interview at the hospital, they actually shaved him and cleaned him up a little bit. And he described his injuries as evil spirits and poisons that wouldn't leave him. And he stayed at the hospital a few days and then checked himself out. Also in that same interview, he gave some political views that we needed an honest, progressive republic world, that he didn't believe in dictators, Democrats, or socialists. And the only Democrat he said he ever voted for was Woodrow Wilson. And he never voted for Franklin Roosevelt one time at all. He wasn't a real Roosevelt fan. But also in that same interview, he said he never bought, sold, or used whiskey in his whole life. But he did make some brandy one time to use for as a sort of a cough syrup. However, some of the records that we dug up, in 1941, he was arrested in July and charged with the moonshine steal, mash, and liquor in the Beaver area. And the arresting officer was a federal officer named R.A. Wade. So some of his recollection wasn't quite accurate. The actual case was held over until about November, and I don't think he did spend a few days in jail, but I don't think there was too much to it. Now, he lived off of commodities, and he would go over on Bibb Avenue. There was a church over there and pick up his commodities when he was younger. And he also was on county assistance, and it equaled to $27 a month. And, of course, this was in the 50s and 60s and probably late 40s. And actually, before he died, he had been raised up to $31 a month. So it was kind of hard living like that. But that's what he lived off of, was commodities and that kind of money. He was in a story written by Leon Scheimer. When he was about 80 years old, there was an engineer for CNO Railroad named S.L. Gwynn. He would see Cabbage Head a lot along the railroad tracks and stuff, and they kind of friended him, and he would give him parts of his sandwich sometimes, and then he started going down and visiting him. And I think Mr. Gwynn might have lived up on LaRue Avenue in East Beckley, and one time he went and visited him. It was around Christmas and cold weather and stuff, and Cabbage Head, the only thing he had to eat was a meal out of one of the commodity bags. And so Mr. Gwynn went home, and his wife cooked the chicken, and they took it down to him, and had a pretty nice Christmas dinner. And after that, Mr. Gwynn kind of started checking on him regular, 3 or 4 days a week, and was actually trying to help him. And Cabbage Head had reached an age where he couldn't get out as often, so he wasn't getting the commodities he wasn't picking his check up at the East Beckley Post Office on a regular basis. He was really suffering. So Mr. Gwynn and his wife kind of adopted him, made sure that he had food. They would check 3 or 4 days. Well, Mr. Gwynn went to the welfare department, and they came down and checked out the situation. And they actually found him a house on Johnstown Road, but he wouldn't move into it. He said there was too many people and too much noise going on, so he would not move into it. But the welfare department gave Mr. Gwynn sort of custodial rights, and so he could pick up Cabbage Head's checks and pick up his commodities and deliver them to him. During this time also, Mr. Gwynn helped find a small trailer, kind of we would probably call it an RV now. He bought this trailer for $40. He found it at Midway, and they moved the trailer down there close to where the cave entrance was. Cabbage had moved into the trailer. He didn't really want to at first. He was a little hesitant about that, but they finally convinced him. And there was a couple other guys helped set it up. Clayton Hara and Raymond Richards were kind enough to cut some firewood for Cabbage Head and kind of set the trailer. Well, once he took to it, that's where he spent his last years of his life. On October the 21st, 1964, Mr. Gwynn had gone down to check on him, and he knocked on the door, and he couldn't get nobody answered. And so he broke into the trailer, and Cabbage Head was kind of laying across the bed, and he had passed away. He was 87 years old. Inside the trailer, there was three $100, what they called government express certificates, where he had saved his money to pay for his funeral. And Rosen Quessenberry had the funeral on October the 23rd. And a fellow by the name of B.L. Moss officiated, and they buried Cabbage Head at Sunset Memorial Park. He was a guy that had spent most of his life living in a cave or living in a recluse situation. And here we are, many years later, 60 plus years later, and still discussing the guy. And he was an interesting fella. You kind of think about it, you know, well, he probably was schizophrenic or paranoid or something like that. And that may have been true, but it may have not been someone we would feel sorry for. He called his own shots. Evidently, he was relatively healthy, because up until his just the later years, he was independent, had pretty well taken care of himself in remote situations. And he really didn't have anyone to thank so much other than Mr. Gwynn and his family and a few of his friends. And we don't know what his relationship with the Creator obviously was, but we do know he wasn't Catholic. I'm sure a lot of you have stories or have heard rumors about his situation, but here's a guy who wanted to live out away from people. And even then, sometimes he became a victim. People wouldn't leave him alone because he was a little different, but wasn't that bad of a life. If you have any stories you want to share, you look up Wayne Bennett's podcast on Facebook, and we'd love the stories of Milburn Cabbagehead Metter. And if you have a story, we'd like to hear it too. You can contact me at awbennett50@gmail.com. And we're going to leave you with a song, one of the original songs of that era, called Cabbage Head. And until next time, God bless you.
Seen before.